Welcome to the, welcome. This is the MT for Christ 24/7 podcast. This is MT Clark, and this is lesson 9 of the Freedom in Christ discipleship class called Renewing the Mind. And just a small note, the outline, as I did in the last lesson, I'm providing the entire outline for tonight's teaching, or today's teaching, whenever you're listening to the podcast, on mtforchrist.org, under Freedom in Christ, Lesson 9, Renewing the Mind. So if you wanted to, you could look at the podcast, or listen to the podcast, as you review the lesson that is on mtforchrist.org. I do this so you can have everything right before you, and to follow along, to review after the fact, to copy and paste, or to, to learn even more from the lesson. So I'm providing it in its entirety. So there's nothing you might get more out of the podcast than the notes, but if not, you'll have the notes before you at mtforchrist.org. So without further ado, we'll read through the lesson together, or, you can just sit back and listen. Tonight's lesson, Freedom in Christ, Lesson 9, Renewing the Mind. Our focus verse, probably not surprising, is Romans 12:2. From the New International Version, it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Tonight's objective, or this lesson's objective, is to understand that taking hold of and living in your freedom in Christ is not a one-off experience, but needs to become a way of life, and to provide you with a strategy to continually renew your mind. At the MT for Christ 24/7 podcast, we teach that our faith is to be lived out 24/7, and that our faith is one that grows, and it's continuous. And so it's not a one-off experience. It needs to become a way of life. As we say, we encourage you on the Christian path of discipleship to live a discipled life, a surrendered life for Christ. The focus truth today's lesson is all of us have mental strongholds, ways of thinking that are not in line with God's truth. Our success in continuing to walk in freedom and grow in maturity depends on the extent to which we continue to renew our minds and train ourselves to distinguish good from evil. So yeah, our freedom is dependent upon our decision to walk in it and to grow in maturity by renewing our mind, to being conformed to the image of Christ by thinking and doing our lives according to the wisdom that God would have us live by. So welcome. Welcome to the Christian life, And the question they ask right off the bat in tonight's lesson is, how did you find the steps to freedom in Christ? How did you find the steps to freedom in Christ process? As I stated at the end of the last podcast, that the expectation for the class is that the participants go through the steps to freedom in Christ between lessons 8 and lesson 9. So if you want, pause the podcast, do the steps to freedom in Christ, or you can continue and with the understanding that this whole course is really geared to introduce you to and encourage you to go through the steps to freedom in Christ, which is, if you don't know, a process of repentance and to realizing your freedom in 7 different areas of your life, the 7 steps. So if you want to check out the steps to freedom in Christ, you can go to the Freedom in Christ Lesson 8 blog post on mtforchrist.org, where I've included the entire process for someone to read through or pray through the process to experience your freedom. So they asked the question, how did it go? if you've gone through it like I have, you probably may admit that it had been rough in a few portions of the steps, but the result was an increased sense of freedom and peace and joy, and you know, quite possibly some peace, you know, that you never experienced before. So we here at mtforchrist.org and MT for Christ 24/7 podcast encourage you to go through the steps of freedom in Christ to experience the freedom that comes through the process. So as we continue, they just sort of ask that, and we hope that you've done the steps or make a commitment today to do them. The first passage of scripture that they ask us to read is Galatians 5:1 from the New Living Translation. It says, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in the slavery to the law." Our freedom is the freedom of forgiveness and grace and not necessarily rule-keeping. It's about a relationship with our Father that we get to walk in knowing that we're forgiven, and that the enemy's charges of guilt and condemnation fall flat because we've been covered in the blood of Christ. He's set us free. The second scripture is Psalm 119:45. It says, "I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments." So, yeah. We devote ourselves to our commandments. Oh, no, there's the rule keeping. No. He commands us to live free. So we acknowledge the truth of the law of the Lord and agree with what he says describes a good life. And we follow the law. We try to follow his commandments, his advice, his instruction for us to live. And when we do that, it points to an ongoing transformation, that we're not perfect overnight, you know, in one thing, but we can progress in our faith, and we can experience more and more freedom in Christ. So it's a message of hope. It's a lifestyle of hope. You know, we started the course by looking at who you now are, a holy one. We're saints, right? We looked at the facts that faith is simply finding out that from God's word what is already true and then making a choice to believe it. We then considered the three enemies that try to keep us from knowing the truth: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Finally, if you did business with God during the steps to freedom in Christ, you've taken hold of the freedom that Jesus won for you. You became a brand new creation when you first turned to Jesus. Now the stage is set for you to transform further. When that word is used in the Bible, it refers to the process through which a crawly, wormy caterpillar becomes a beautiful butterfly. It doesn't mean change just a little bit. It means a really dramatic change. How do you think that ongoing transformation happens? What do you need to do to experience it? Well, Romans 12:2 tells us, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." You know, so it has to do with renewing our mind. We want transformation. We got to change the way we think. And when we change the way we think, we'll change the way we feel and the way we act. Our thoughts drive our behaviors and our attitudes and our emotions. So we can change it by renewing our mind. Remember, the battle is for our minds. Our minds have been conditioned by the world, influenced by Satan, the puppet master behind it. So we've developed a whole host of default beliefs and thought patterns that don't match up with God's word. In other words, they are not actually true. You know, what the world has taught us in light of God's truth turns out not to be very true. This dialogue takes place now, and the lesson shares a dialogue that takes place at a 50-year high school reunion. And here's the dialogue. "You were always the pretty one in class, Jane. You thought I was pretty. You always ignored me." "We weren't ignoring you. We were just too intimidated to speak to you." "I've spent 50 years struggling with low self-esteem because I thought you were ignoring me." "Ha ha, isn't that silly? My entire personality has been formed under the wrong information." So, you know, think about it. My entire personality has been formed around the wrong information. You know, this little dialogue of Jane, who was a pretty girl in school, but because she was so pretty, people didn't, you know, ignored her, you know, kept their distance. She thought she was, you know, less than. You know, her entire personality had been formed around the wrong information. To a greater or lesser extent, that statement is true for every single one of us. For much of our lives, our belief system has been shaped by our enemies. You know, isn't that sad? In other words, we've all absorbed a whole lot of lies and half-truths that really affect us. When we become Christians, no one pressed the delete button in our brains. So all those negative thoughts about who we are or whatever is you know, those criticisms, you know, really, really affect us. They're still running around in there. We still have the same old default programming, the same old thought patterns, or what the Bible calls the flesh. You know, in my experience, I thought I was no good, sort of criminal-minded. So all my life, I thought I was, you know, not good enough. And when I came to Christ, I still felt that way until I started to believe what the Word of God says about who I am in Christ. And so that's the process we're going to be going through tonight or today, whenever you're listening to the podcast. You know, because we have that same old default programming, those same old thought patterns, we need to change it. And the Bible calls that the flesh. You know, taking hold of our freedom is essential, but is not enough. Now we need to change the default, that default way of thinking if we want to grow as disciples. We need to replace it with what is actually true. And the key to that is renewing our minds. And thus we address what the Bible calls strongholds. You know, we touched briefly in lesson 5 on the concept of a stronghold. Let's look at the only place in the New Testament that the word appears, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5, 3 through 5. And it says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." So we demolish strongholds and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to the obedience, and make it obedient to Christ. So in that passage, Paul is clearly talking of something in the area of our thinking. He mentions arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. He talks about taking every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. The literal meaning of the word stronghold is a fortress, a strong defense building having Have you ever seen a medieval castle up close? Not a Disney castle, but the real thing. Now, those are fortresses, solid rock buildings with few and small windows, surrounded by thicker walls, sometimes layers of wall after wall. The outer walls can be so thick you can drive a car, you know, into them. And that's impressive. In this context, a stronghold is a faulty belief system. You know, it's not a big rock formation that is a castle. Our strongholds are in the mind. You know, so it's a faulty belief system that has been reinforced many times over a long period. It prevents you from knowing God and His ways. It's sitting there in your mind, apparently strong and impenetrable, like a thick castle wall. Perhaps it started out right back in childhood, when a little thought was planted in your mind by something that happened to you. Maybe you were bullied, or worse, or someone said something negative about you. You're useless. You're a failure. You're ugly. It's all your fault. Maybe the enemy lined up someone else at a different time who said or did the same thing. Since he knows your particular vulnerabilities, he ruthlessly tries to exploit them by lining up people or circumstances one after the other to give you the same wrong message. The world then adds insult to injury with its constant bombardment of lies about what it means to be successful or happy or loved. as it gets stronger and stronger, it becomes part of our default thinking and works itself out in our behavior. Then whenever someone suggests we could go for a particular job or lead the small group at church, a tape plays in our mind that says, I couldn't do that, I'm useless at that. We believed it for so long, it becomes part of our lives, and we can't imagine it ever being any different. A good definition of a stronghold is a belief or habitual pattern of thinking that is not consistent with what God tells us is true. Feelings of inferiority, insecurity, and inadequacy are strongholds, because no child of God is inferior, insecure, or inadequate. Is any child of God dirty or ugly? Absolutely not. It isn't true. It just feels true. It's a lie that has been reinforced so many times that it is literally has a stronghold on you and causes you to think and act in ways that contradict God's word. Strongholds can have two faces. When we know what we should do but don't seem able to do it, and when we know we shouldn't do something but don't seem able to stop. So if that's how it feels, we're talking about strongholds getting in the way. So yeah, if we know what we should do and don't seem able to do it, that's a stronghold. When we know we shouldn't do something and don't seem able to stop to do it, that's another stronghold. It's two sides of the same coin. You know, we can't do the things of God because that's just not us, or we just can't stop sinning because we can't. Those are both lies. We can do the will of the Lord, and we can stop sin in a progressive fashion where we sin less and less and become more like Christ. A little later, we'll introduce you to stronghold busting, which is a structured way of demolishing a stronghold. Freedom in Christ Nancy Maldonado shares her experiencing of using it. We talked about Nancy's desert journey earlier in the lessons in Freedom in Christ. Her perspective on her circumstances was definitely changing. But as the weeks and months of tears went by, her outlook on life continued to be gray, sometimes dark gray. So she asked God to show her what was behind it, and he did. He showed Nancy that her outlook on life since she was a girl has always been some shade of gray, sometimes lighter, sometimes darker, and God called it discontent. So Nancy set off on her stronghold buster, which included Psalm 103, 1-5, which says, "Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crown few with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Day after day, Nancy repeated it as soon as she woke up, before getting out of bed, then again at night. On hard days, she repeated it throughout the day. Some days, she confesses that it felt phony. Yeah, right, all his benefits. Some days, it was heartfelt. Nancy stuck with it, and after 6 weeks or so, the gray cloud began to lift. Nancy was finally able to say, "Truly, he satisfies my desires with good things." Nancy's life is now in color. Yeah, the grayness that we suffer from can be remedied with a study of the Word of God. That's how stronghold busters work. Basically, we grab a hold of a part of Scripture that speaks truth, and we apply it to our lives. So, that's the renewing of the mind, and it can, you know, and we do it. We provide it with the different lists that this class has. You know, the Who I Am in Christ list, the 20 Cans of Success, and My Father God. All those lists compile. You know, are compiled of truths drawn from Scripture that we can meditate on and renew our minds with. So if you've gotten those lists from the other lessons, you can review those. But specifically, we should examine our lives, look at what strongholds we have, and find Scripture that line up against that stronghold so we can demolish it. And as Nancy's example shows us, sometimes it doesn't always feel real. But if we meditate on the Word of God, it becomes a part of our knowledge of who we are in Christ, and it becomes effective to change the way we feel and think. We have now reached the part in the lesson, which is the pause for thought. And the objective in this first pause for thought is to understand the concept of strongholds and the questions that we are to review. Say, the first one says, my entire personality has been formed around the wrong information. And it says, what do you think about the idea that much of our lives, our belief system, and how we think have been influenced and shaped by many lies and half-truths said over us? Yeah, the example they give of the 50-year reunion of the beautiful woman who is kept at arm lengths by everyone, who's intimidated by her. You know, she came to believe that she was, you know, being ignored. And, she felt less than because of people staying away from her, when in actuality, she was beautiful. In many ways, this plays out in our lives. You know, from early childhood, we might feel like we're bothering someone, and thus our company is undesirable. Or someone will say, someone will criticize us and say we do everything wrong. And we'll internalize these things that aren't really true. You can't do everything wrong, and you can't be totally undesirable. But these impressions get put into our lives, and they may affect on how we react and how we behave and how we think about ourselves. And these faulty beliefs become part of who we are and our personalities. And the thing is, when we come into the kingdom of the Lord by making Jesus our Lord and Savior, we receive new spiritual life that changes the script. As I've often said, Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So all those negative thoughts, not true about you. They never were. And now they never really were. And now they really aren't, because you are now in Christ. And the Word says, there's no condemnation for those in Christ. So it's scary to think how, the conditioning of the world can change the way we believe. And we can see it in ourselves, and we can see it in the way other people act. Some people act a certain way because that's the way they were taught, and it's been reinforced all their lives, and now they consider themselves high achievers or losers or whatever, based on their experience, and they've been affected by those, and those belief systems. Our job as Christians is to agree with what the word of the Lord says about us, and to renew our minds, and to live out our faith based on that the truth of God's word, and not based on the lies of the enemy or the world. That's what we're supposed to discuss. That a lot of the information that we based our lives on is just wrong. Common knowledge, as I say, is often common ignorance, especially in the things of the Lord, his spiritual realities. So that's what we're trying to do here in the Freedom in Christ course, is to teach you who you are in Christ and to encourage you to live it out by renewing your mind and walking in faith. The next question or statement for the pause for thought is, no child of God is inferior or inadequate. Discuss. Well, as we have the who I am in Christ list to tell us, we are accepted in Christ, we are secure in Christ, and we are significant in Christ. If you don't know that, I would recommend going through the who I am in Christ list to reinforce those beliefs, because no child of God is inferior or inadequate. When it comes to the ultimate judgment, an evaluation of who we are, God has the final say. He's the creator, and he's the one who redeems us. So he's the one who determines our value, not the world or even our actions. He decides who we are. And he says we're not inferior and we're not inadequate, that we are secure. We are accepted and we are significant in Christ. So when we renew our minds with those truths, we live an entirely different life of freedom and joy as we realize that we're inferior to no one and we are not inadequate, but we are mighty in Christ. The final portion of the pause for thought, it says, what practical ways can we consider to make us more aware of strongholds and how they affect our lives? Well, one way, you know, strongholds are patterns of behavior and thought that are default settings. So one way I would suggest that we could uncover strongholds is to look at how we react, to look at our experience, our emotional and our physical reactions to the world. You know, if there's something you always do when something happens that you're not happy with, that cause negative emotions or negative feelings about yourselves, these are the strongholds in your life, you know, or the ways that we react that are not consistent with the Word of God. As they said, the strongholds play out in two different ways. The one way strongholds plays out is that we know what we should do, but we feel we are not capable of doing it. That's one, you know, that's a stronghold. And the other one is we know we shouldn't do something, and we find ourselves doing it again and again. Those are two ways we can see a stronghold. Like I said, our emotions can tip us off, and our negative reactions and negative behaviors can tell us, you know, where strongholds lie. But those are the basic principles, you know, that the Word of God says to do this, and I feel incapable of doing it. The Word of God says not to do this, and I keep doing it. And guess what? Strongholds all over the place. So those are practical ways we consider to look at our strongholds. As we say, we are to examine our experience because we want to have peace in reality, right? So we have to look at the real world and how we live and the choices we make and the ways we think and the way we feel and the way we act. So thus we take advantage to conform to the image of Christ by start thinking the way God thinks and to agree with it, not just as some empty expression of, oh, this is what we do. No, this is who we are and this is how we live. So, let's see. The next section of teaching says how strongholds are established. There are three ways that strongholds can be established in our minds. The first way is our environment. We have already seen how we learn values and beliefs from the world we live in. It also can work at the micro level in our home, school, or work environment. Imagine you were raised in a home of an alcoholic and there are three boys in the family. As the father's problem continues to develop, it turns into domestic violence. When their father comes home drunk, the three boys develop different ways of coping. The oldest one feels he can stand up to his dad. If you lay a hand on me, you'll regret it. The middle one learns a different coping mechanism with his dad. He says, "Hi, Dad, can I get you something?" And the third one runs away and hides in his room. You know, 20 years later, the father is long gone, and the three boys are adults. When each of them is confronted with a hostile situation, how do you think they'll respond? The chances are the oldest one will fight, the middle one will accommodate, and the youngest will run away. And just a personal note, as someone who grew up in an alcoholic environment, these patterns are somewhat typical. You know, the oldest tends to resist and want to fight. The middle ones tend to accommodate, and the youngest tend to run away. When I read this material, you know, when it was originally presented to me years ago, when I went through, you know, through this Anderson's teachings, I'm like, wow, there's my life, you know. So these strongholds run, and they're common amongst, you know, the problems in the world are pretty common. So these strongholds are pretty common. You know, we call them strongholds, but psychologists might call them defense mechanisms. They are ways of thinking and acting that have become deeply ingrained in our minds. Traumatic experiences is another way strongholds can develop. It doesn't necessarily take something to be repeated over a long period of time to set up a stronghold. A one-time powerful traumatic experience can do it because of its intensity. A divorce, a rape, or a death in the home. All can be, are examples of things that could traumatic experiences that can result in the formation of a stronghold. For example, if you are abused, you may come to see yourself as a victim, helpless, never able to stand up for yourself. At one time, that may have been true, but that's not true anymore if you were a child of God. Remember, it's not the traumatic experience itself that produces the stronghold. It's the lie we believe as a result of the traumatic experience that makes the stronghold. If one person is violently attacked, they may be able to shrug it off as an isolated incident. But for someone else, it might set up a lie in their mind that all men are dangerous. It's totally understandable, but it's not true. Whatever has happened to you in the past, you can go back to the traumatic event and process it again from the position of who you are now, a holy child of God. No Christian, no matter how bad their past experiences, has to remain a victim. God doesn't change our past. He sets us free from it. The last way we can form a stronghold is giving into temptation. Tempting thoughts that are not dealt with immediately lead on to actions. Repeating the action will lead to a habit. Exercising the habit long enough will produce a stronghold. Satan is actively trying to tempt you into the same sin time and time again. So we have to be on guard. You know, that's how the vicious cycles work. You know, Satan is always trying to tempt us to do the same things again and again because he wants you to set up strongholds in your life so that he can keep you going round in circles feeling hopeless. The Bible is clear that there is a way out of every temptation. If you drive a truck across a muddy field, you'll create some ruts in the field. If you drive the same way every day over a period of time, the ruts will get deeper and deeper and more noticeable. Eventually, they will be so well established that you can let go of the steering wheel and the truck will drive itself right down the same pathway. That's fine as long as the ruts are going in the right direction. You know, strongholds are like ruts that are heading in the wrong direction. If you don't intentionally change the direction, you're taking your hands off the steering wheel of your life and you're likely to end up somewhere you didn't want to go. The problem with strongholds is that they lead us to act on lies, false information, and cause your feelings to be out of line with reality. You may feel rejection when you are not actually being rejected. You may feel happiness, or you may feel helpless to change when you are not helpless at all. You know, for example, you may feel that you will never get out of a particular sin when in fact you have everything you need to walk away from it. If you live like there is no way you can become if you live like this, there is no way you'll become a mature, fruitful disciple. Yeah. Like I've said before, the biggest lie the enemy tells us is that something is impossible. Oh, I can't stop that. That's impossible. You know, I can't do that. That's impossible. The Lord gives you strength, and you can overcome your sin when you believe it's possible and trust in Him and follow the way He leads. Ask me how I know. So we can mature, but we have to believe we can, and we have to trust in the Lord and walk out our faith day by day. You know, freedom and maturity are not the same thing. You know, the moment you turn to Jesus, you are not expected to be instantly mature. When babies are born, they drink milk for a while before they move on to solid food. But if babies keep acting like babies as they get older, they become less attractive, you know. Yeah, you can't act like a baby, although some people try to do that. Yeah, we're supposed to grow in life and in our Christian faith. Any Christian can become an old Christian. All it takes is time. Any Christian can become a mature Christian, but many don't because they don't know how to deal with their strongholds. But every Christian can tear these strongholds down. You know, God gives us the power to overcome, and we overcome our strongholds. The pause for thought section, we've reached the second portion of our teaching, where it's a pause for thought, and the objective of the second pause is to help people become aware of strongholds and in their own life and to realize that they are based on lies. And like we said, we have practical ways to look at our lives and figure out what those strongholds are. The questions in this second pause for thought is asks us to spend some time discussing the strongholds, the ways that strongholds are established. In what ways can you identify with the story of the alcohol father and his three sons, for instance? Can you see any strongholds that have been established in your own life? Well, like I said, in my experience, I was like the middle child that tried to accommodate the father. And so when trouble comes, I try to make peace or accommodate. I'm somewhat of a people pleaser. That's a stronghold, there's various ways to deal with that. So and as the lesson stated, there's three ways that we learn our strongholds. One's from our environment. One's from traumatic experiences. Something dramatic happens and changes the way we act from that way forward, or the way we think from that way forward. And the other way is through our sin. You know, the enemy comes in and tempts us to do something. We find comfort in it. We find that it works, or both. And we continue in that sin. So those are the ways strongholds are developed. And if we examine our lives, we can see where we have certain strongholds, or, we can testify of overcoming them. So that's what we ask in this lesson, is to look at your strongholds. Look at what may have developed from your environment, from traumatic experiences, or from sin. And then what we do is we give it to God. The second portion of the pause for thoughts asks us to look at a list of common lies that people come to believe about themselves. The common lies are that they are unloved, rejected, inadequate, hopeless, or stupid. And for your own review, they ask that for each one of these terms, unloved, rejected, inadequate, hopeless, or stupid, so find a Bible verse to show that it cannot be true of any Christian. And while I don't have all the Bible verses in front of me, I would recommend going to the Who I Am in Christ list as a cheat sheet, because I'm sure they tell us how we're accepted, so that would take care of unloved and rejected. That tells us how we are secure, so that would. And tells us how we're secure and significant. That would take care of the other things of hopeless and stupid and inadequate. When we know we are accepted, secure, and significant in Christ, we know these things are lies and that they're not true. So we'll start this study, of doing Who I Am in the Who I Am in Christ list and studying the Word, looking up scriptures that would deal with these lies is the way we renew our mind. Let's see. The last section of the pause for thought is no Christian, no matter how bad their experiences, has to remain a victim. God doesn't change our past. He sets us free from it. Discuss. That's the thing about our faith as Christians, is that we're redeemed. We're forgiven of our sins. And through forgiveness, we can get past whatever traumas we may have been through. We don't have to remain a victim to the lies and the enemy. The Bible tells us to renew our minds and to be conformed to the image of Christ. And when we do that, we find our freedom in Christ. So that's been pretty much the lesson going forward. And so we will move on to the last section of tonight's lesson, which is demolishing strongholds. So how do you deal with these strongholds? Well, the first one is close doors open to the enemy. In the steps to freedom in Christ, you have taken away the footholds the enemy had in your life. And that's a key reason that you can now demolish strongholds, even those that you have tried time and time to deal with in the past but failed. What they're referring to there, for those who haven't been through the steps to freedom in Christ, is that in the steps to freedom in Christ, we repent. We turn from our old ways. We put our faith in Christ. We confirm that. We renounce all occult associations in our lives. We forgive those who've sinned against us in our lives. We repent of the sins that we've committed and all the sexual sins that we've done. And we repent of all the pride in our lives, and we repent of all the false beliefs and all ancestral sins as part of the process. So, you know, that's what this statement, that we've dealt with all the footholds that the enemy had in our lives, because all those things have been confessed and renounced through the processes, the steps of freedom in Christ. And that's why we recommend that everyone go through the steps to freedom in Christ at least once. And, you know, and use it as a tool for further repentance in your walk. Because when we renounce all our sins and accept the life that Christ has for us, we walk in freedom. So that takes care of those. That's how we close the door to the enemy. And then the second thing we do to demolish strongholds is taking personal responsibility for the whole of our lives. This is not about asking God or someone else to do something in order for us to get free or grow. Lord, take it away from me. That was a prayer I did in recovery, but guess what? I also had to live out a sober life. He gave me strength, but I wasn't instantly cured of all cravings or temptations to fall into my old sinful lifestyle. I had to trust the Lord every day to lead me into freedom. And every day, he gave me more experience, more victory. And somewhere along the lines, I believed that I was free. And after that, we talked about walking in freedom. Well, after that, the temptations and patterns of the past seemed to fade away and you know, rarely come up in my experience any longer. So that's how we walk it out. You know, you already have everything you need to live a godly life. 2 Peter verse 1 through 3, I believe, they don't give the reference here, but I believe it says he gives us everything we need for life and godliness. So he does, and we have to believe it and live it out. In the way God has set things up, some things are his responsibility and some things are our responsibility. If we don't do the things that he has given us to do, they simply won't get done, you know. We have free will, so we could choose to lay in bed all day. But God is, that's not in God's plan. I don't see the lay in bed every day for all day long as a scripture that we can stand on. You know, no one else, you know, for instance, no one else can forgive for you. And no one else can choose to believe the truth for you. So we have to forgive and we have to believe. You know, and when we do that, then we can experience the victory and the freedom that God has for us. In the passage we looked at, we fight. You know, we demolish arguments and pretensions that set themselves against the truth. We take captive every thought. No one else can do it for us. We have to do that. The other way to demolish strongholds is to take every thought captive. Paul tells us to take every thought captive in 2 Corinthians 10:5. You can think of your mind as being like an airport, and you are an air traffic controller. A lot of thoughts ask for permission to land, but you have complete control over which will land and will be turned away. So if thoughts come in, we can dwell on them, or we can tell, you know, push the thoughts away and think about something else. We are in a battle between truth and lies. Every stronghold is an entrenched lie. The key to demolishing it is to uncover the lie behind it and then replace the lie with the truth. That's how we take every thought captive. You know, Freedom in Christ, Steve Goss, shares this testimony. He says, when Steve Goss met Rachel, she was the epitome of a Christian who had lost all hope. She was covered in bandages from injuries that she had inflicted on herself. She had difficulty stringing two sentences together because of drug abuse. She had suffered from eating disorders for years. In fact, it's a miracle she was alive at all. She had just been thrown out of a psychiatric hospital, a self-harm unit, for a week because she had self-harmed. A local church took her in and wanted to work through this course and the steps to freedom in Christ with her. At their request, Steve was present when she went through the steps. At the end, her face was completely changed. She had done real business with God, and she broke into a beautiful smile and said, "I'm free." Was that the end of the story? No, it's not the end of the story. It's relatively, you know, it's a relatively quick, straightforward process to take hold of your freedom. But staying free is another question. As much as Steve encouraged Rachel to do when she went through the steps, he was keeping an ear open for faulty beliefs, lies that she believed. So at the end, Steve said to her, "It's great that you're free. Now it's important to ensure you stay free and it's important that she work out what lies you've been believing and take steps to renew her mind." It seemed to Steve that the main thing she needed to work on was the lie that she was dirty. You know, Rachel's big smile instantly vanished, and she looked at Steve in anger and said, "That's not right at all." "Oh," Steve said, "it's just that you seem to have mentioned feeling dirty a lot, especially in the forgiveness step." "Yes," Rachel admitted, "I am dirty. It's not a lie." You know, past abuse had taught Rachel to see herself and her body as dirty. Her subsequent anorexia, self-harm, and addictions were simple ways she used to try to cope with, blot out those negative feelings. Although by going through the steps process, she had kicked the enemy out of her life and was free, if she had been left at that point still believing the lie that she was dirty, what would have happened? She would have almost certainly have spiraled back down into her former coping mechanisms because the pain of feeling dirty would still be there. You know, Steve got her to look at some Bible verses in the Bible, verses such as John 15:3, "You were already clean because of the word which I spoke to you." And 1 Corinthians 6:11, that said, "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Then Steve said to Rachel, "So what are you going to choose to believe? What your past experiences are telling you or what God says about you?" She was quiet for a time, and then she said, "I suppose what God says." Steve then taught Rachel a tool we call stronghold busting, a way to renew your mind. We will teach the same process to you in a minute, but first, let me tell you the end of Rachel's story. The next time they saw her at the hospital was a couple of months later, when she walked in dressed in her nurse's uniform, having been able to resume the career she had to give up. She said hi, and she looked so different, they had no idea who she was. She had been transformed through the renewing of her mind. And so it just shows you, you know, she was led through it, but she had a fault, you know, in the process. Steve noticed that she had some thoughts about herself that just weren't true, and thus, you know, being dirty. Luckily, Steve noticed it and recommended a course of, stronghold busting to undo the lies that were inherent to her problems. So the steps worked, and the follow-up of stronghold busting worked, and she resumed her life as a nurse to the point where they barely recognized her, or they didn't recognize her, as it says. So we are to be transformed through the renewing of our mind. So that, you know, what is stronghold busting? Well, first of all, you need to determine the lie you have been believing. Anyway, you were any way you're thinking that is not in line with what God says about you in the Bible is a lie, you know, is a lie. That's the lie you're, you know, if it doesn't line up with the Bible, that's the lie and the stronghold you need to take care of. In doing this, you know, you ignore what you're feeling, but you commit yourself wholeheartedly to God's truth. It's helpful at this point to write down that what effect believing the lie has had in your life. For Rachel, it led to her feeling bad about herself and then into anorexia and various addictions. Realizing the negative effects should spur us on to tear the stronghold down. Then what we do is we find as many Bible verses as you can that state the truth and write them down. A good Bible app or a helpful pastor will come in use, useful. If there are a lot of verses, pick the top 7 or 8. You know, so what I do whenever I'm looking for a Bible verse, I usually Google it. Bible verses about whatever topic, you know, and Google. And then when you have a bunch of verses, what you do is you use the text from the Bible verses speaking about your issue, and you write a little declaration based on the formula, which is sort of comes from the formula presented in the Steps to Freedom in Christ, where we renounce the lie that, you know, like in Rachel's, well, an example from Rachel's is, I renounce the lie that you use the formula, I renounce the lie that blank, and I announce the truth that blank. So with Rachel, she would have said something like, I renounce the lie that I am dirty, and I announce the truth that I have been washed clean by Jesus, that I am a holy one. Whatever your issue is, you renounce the lie, and then you announce the truth that's presented in the Bible, in the Bible verses that you find. Finally, you read the Bible verses that you find and say the declaration out loud every day for 40 days, all the time reminding yourself that God is truth, and that if He has said it, it really is true for you. Now, why do we recommend 40 days? Because psychologists tell us that it takes around 6 weeks to form or break a habit. Once you have dealt with any footholds of the enemy, a stronghold is simply a habitual way of thinking. Can you break a habit? Of course, but it takes some effort over a period of time. Don't treat this as some kind of magic, however. It's not the speaking out that will change you, and there's no... And there's not some special formula that works for everyone. Don't get all religious either. If you miss a day or two, God still loves you. Just pick up the next day and carry on. Do persevere until you have completed a total of 40 days. In fact, you may wish to go on longer, and you will almost certainly want to come back and do it again at some point in the future. It may sound easy, but it's not, because the lie feels true to you. It's like watching a concrete wall being demolished. It withstands 10, then 15, then 30, then 35 blows with no visible sign of being weakened. That's how it can feel as you work through a stronghold buster day after day. However, every day you renounce the lie and commit yourself to truth is making a difference. A wall might not appear to have been weakened right up until, say, 37 swings of the demolition ball. However, sooner or later, say on the 38th swing, a few small cracks will appear. On the next, these cracks will be bigger until finally the wall completely collapses. Even though only the final 3 swings appear to have had any effect, without the previous 37, the wall would not have fallen. There are some examples of completed stronghold busters in your participant's guide. One of them is on the comfort eating. Another is on being drawn into internet porn. They are meant to help you get the idea, but if those issues are live ones for you, it's much more effective if you work out your own stronghold buster that from scratch rather than taking a ready-made one. Another way, you know, and obviously we commit for the long term, you know, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature should take such a view of things. That's from Philippians 3:13-15. We need to take a long-term view. If we feel we have to do everything at once, we are going to, are likely to start but not finish, to burn out and conclude that we have failed. If, however, we set out on a long-term plan, we can deal with one area at a time and make sure that we really have changed our thinking before moving on. In a year, we could deal with 8 or 9 areas, and that would make a tremendous difference. Every single one of us can leave here today knowing that absolutely nothing and no one can stop us from becoming the people God wants us to be and accomplishing amazing things for Him. As long as we play our part and use the weapons we have already put in our hands. So, yeah, it's possible. And as I've said in the past, it's not about perfection, it's about progress. So if you do one stronghold buster in 40 days and experience significant change in that area, it'll empower you to look at other strong busters. So as they said, you can do 8 or 9 stronghold busters in a year. And if you have success, even half of those, it'll make a great difference in your life, and you'll experience more freedom, more peace, more joy and victory in your Christian life as a result of your efforts to renew your mind and break down strongholds. The reflection in tonight's lesson is basically the objective is to start work on a stronghold buster. And so they ask, have you become aware of the lies that you are prone to believe? What is the most significant one? You know, so you should use this time to start or create your very own stronghold buster so that you can go on to demolish it. You can use the guidelines on page 155 of your participant's guide and take note of the sample stronghold busters on pages 159 through 61. There's a space to create your own stronghold busters on 162 and 67. So you can look at that information by getting the guide, but very simply the information that's in this outline on the website mtforchrist.org tells you what to do. You identify a stronghold, you get some Bible verses. Basically that has to do with that area of your stronghold, whatever lie you believe, the lie that you're no good, the lie that you're unacceptable, the lie that you're dirty. So you get verses that combat that and tell you who you are in Christ. One of the tools I use and recommend is the Who I Am in Christ list that is provided in this course. It gives you the list of scriptures in that. And so that if you needed scriptures, they're there. And then what you do is you announce, you know, I renounce the lie that I'm no good. And I announce that I am acceptable in Christ, for instance, as a stronghold. And then you meditate on, by announcing that every day and by meditating on the Word of God, those scriptures that you've pulled up, to demolish it. And as you make a spiritual practice of renewing your mind with the scriptures and with the renunciation and the announcement of the truth, you will have progress over time. And it may take more than 40 days or it may take less. But they recommend doing it for 40 days to break the habit of those lies that you believed. So you don't necessarily need the participant's guide to do that, but it can be helpful, and you can buy that on Freedom in Christ Ministries, FICM.org, or you can find it in other retailers on the internet if you wanted that example. The lesson also has a witness, for this witness advice. It says, write down the 2 most important things you have learned in this course so far. How do you think you could explain them to a not yet Christian? Now, see, with the witness, basically, they want you to review what you've learned. You know, the material that's taught in this course teaches us how to live an empowered life. And if we think about what we've learned, we should want to share that knowledge with someone who is not yet in Christ as a reason why you might want to become a Christian, that you can have freedom and peace, for instance. And all the things that, you know, what you've learned about the lies you believe so far and what you've come to know about the truth of our faith. So you should, meditate on those and think about how you can share them with other people. In the upcoming week, they recommend that you complete your stronghold buster for the most significant lie you have uncovered and start going through it. You can use the Stronghold Buster Builder on the app, the Freedom in Christ app that's available. Actually can give you, you know, it's an interactive tool that allows you to create and alert you to do a Stronghold Buster every day. And people at the conference were talking about how great it is, and the fact that after you do the 40 days or however long it is, the app will congratulate you on completing a Stronghold Buster. So if you needed a tool and not just to do it on your own, the Freedom in Christ app is available. The cost of the app is only a few dollars, and so with that app, you'd have access to all the teachings of the Freedom in Christ course and access to the Stronghold Buster tool. So it's certainly worth the investment if you wanted to go there. So that's the end of the lesson. We thank you for listening, and we encourage you to renew your mind with the Word of God and by breaking those strongholds, by focusing on who you are in Christ and agreeing with it and believing it and living it out by faith, as we say here at MT for Christ 24/7, every day, 24/7, 365 a year, we live our faith by believing who we are in Christ and by sharing our testimony with everyone we come in contact with. As the Word of God says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And, we can go from victory to victory, progressively growing in our faith when we believe what God says and renew our mind and change the ways we live based on what we know to be true. Thank you all for listening, and God bless you all.